We've been having a little bit of fun with this morning. You listen to the show, you know I'm a Manchester United fan. You know I love Zlatan Ibrahimovic just because he's Latin. He has joined, is joining, will join, has joined, has now officially joined the LA Galaxy. He announced it, as only Zlatan can, with a full-page ad in the Los Angeles Times. Dear Los Angeles, you're welcome, Zlatan. Vintage Zlatan. I don't know how many goals he's going to score. I don't necessarily know how his game will translate physically to Major League Soccer, but I do know this. It is going to be a great deal of fun to find out, and our next guest, Kevin Baxter, will have the pleasure, I would imagine, of getting to chronicle Zlatan Ibrahimovic's work with Major League Soccer. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations. You've got kind of like a one-man, you basically got a one-man story. All you have to do is follow Zlatan around, and stuff happens.
Well, he told me yesterday on the phone that he hates sports writers, so we'll see how that goes. I thought we were going to talk about the World Cup. We're all counting for Canada to save this World Cup bid, by the way.
How?
We'll talk about that later.
Well, yeah, we can talk about how your president's basically balled it up for all of us. But Zlatan doesn't hate. See, Zlatan just wants you to think he hates you. Deep down, he has abiding respect for sports writers.
Well, he definitely knows how to use us. That's for sure. Some of the quotes that I've read from him over the years are just hilarious. But maybe one of the most famous ones was when he was talking to a sports writer about a tournament that Zlatan's team was playing in, and the sports writer asked whether they would advance to the next round, and Zlatan said, "Only God knows that." And the sports writer said, "Well, he's a little hard to get a hold of right now." And Zlatan replied, and he said, "You're talking to him." And then there was a time when someone asked him what he got his girlfriend for Christmas, and he said, "Nothing. She already has Zlatan." I like the way he refers to himself in the third person all the time, too.
Yeah, there are some people that do that, and it's annoying. There are some people who do it, and it's fitting. And in his case, it's fitting. I don't. What's he got
do you know
left?
Do you know his first name is trademarked in Sweden? By the way, it actually is
trademarked.
Now, it's a noun and a verb. To Zlatan actually means something in Sweden. I think it means to dominate.
Oh my God! So he's actually trademarked his name.
Yeah, only in Sweden, I guess.
That's remarkable. I wonder if that holds up under European common market laws.
I don't know. Maybe it's going to be part of the Trump tariff.
It could be part of the tough tariffs. What are the Galaxy? What do they think he has left? And how do they think he'll? I was going to say his skills, but it's actually his physical being. How will that translate to MLS? Because look, I mean, he's got injuries. He's got a lot of miles on him. But my God, he's a beast. Like, he's a strong human being. And how do they think that will translate to Major League Soccer?
Well, that's all up in the air right now. He hasn't played in Manchester United, which, as you know, well know that Manchester's second team now.
Stop swearing. Stop swearing.
So that is sort of to be determined. He hasn't played since December 26th, played only five games this year. And alarmingly, I think, for the Galaxy, the Galaxy says his knee, you know, he had a serious knee injury last year, and it was operated on in April. And when he came out at halftime of that December 26th game, following that game, he told reporters in England that the problem was the knee injury that he'd hurt before the surgery. It was a reaction. There was some sort of reaction to that, mm-hmm. which, of course, meant that he wasn't totally healed. The Galaxy said he's been working out for 6 weeks now, that he's fit, and that they expect that, you know, he'll be a force. I'm a little bit doubtful. I think even before the surgery, he had seemed to lose a little bit of his speed. He's still enormously, effective in the box. I mean, he's 6'5", and he plays very well in the air. So even if he can't move a lot, he's going to be effective in the box. I just wondered, does he have 90 minutes in him every game? There's been some discussion around the Galaxy that perhaps, you know, more with people not in the front office, that perhaps Zlatan's best role is off the bench. And mm-hmm. the Galaxy pushed back and said, "We're not bringing Zlatan Ibrahimovic to the United States to play off the bench. He's going to be, you know, in the starting lineup." I just wonder, can he really go 90 minutes a game? And how that plays out. I mean, he's coming for $3 million over two seasons. So first of all, even if he never plays, it's a great signing. Can money only. He's not going to affect the salary cap. $3 million for two seasons. It's a great signing, even if he never steps on the field. But if he does step on the field, you wonder how effective he's going to be. And again, whether he can play a full 90 minutes and how he'll adjust to MLS play. I mean, again, the jury's out. I could see him scoring 20 goals, and I could see him being totally ineffective.
Yeah, and of course, the Galaxy have had experience before bringing in marquee players. I mean, the whole thing with David Beckham, I just kind of laughed at because, you know, David Beckham's a fine player, but I mean, soccer's the type of game where your best player isn't necessarily going to be the most exciting or flashiest player on the pitch. And Beckham could do some fun things, but it's not like he was an offensive dynamo who was going to score 7 goals a match. You know, I mean, there's an aspect of David Beckham's game that you have to be an aficionado to understand and appreciate. I mean, Zlatan is if he's healthy and if he can contribute, I mean, he's literally a guy your eyes. I mean, you don't have to be a soccer fan. Your eyes aren't going to leave him because he's going to be doing something.
Well, he has scored some of the most memorable goals ever. Back in his earlier days, of course, he's super athletic. But, you know, he's just 2 seasons removed from a 50-goal year with PSG in France, you know, one of the top leagues in the world. So you can't just completely write him off as much as I may be trying to do that. But he brings so much. Not only does he have that eye-popping talent, and even on one leg, you know, standing from a wheelchair, he could probably score some amazing goals. So there will be some highlight reel moments coming up. Mm. But also the off the field persona, the ego, and a lot of that, you know, you read the quotes on paper in black and white, and you think, you know, this guy is out of control. And then you see him when he actually says that. And there's always a kind of a wink and a nod and a smile. I mean, he's having fun, and he knows that this persona that he built, you know, that people enjoy it. And so it fits perfectly into L.A. I can't really think of an MLS market other than L.A. and maybe New York where this kind of over-the-top bravado would really work. And I think it's going to play well here. You're right about David Beckham. He was a great passer. He was a good midfielder and was really good on set pieces, but he didn't have the kind of eye-popping goal-scoring ability that Ibrahimovic has. But the other thing that's interesting is he's 36. He's going to... Hold on just a second.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
The other thing is he's 36. He'll be 38 before his contract ends. So this is a situation where the Galaxy last year got rid of before last season, they got rid of Steven Gerrard. They got rid of Robbie Keane. They were very upset, management was, that both Keane and Gerrard were on the bench when the Galaxy played their last playoff game at the end of the 2016 season. They had $10 million of designated player that couldn't play, and they at that point swore off older European stars. They weren't going to do that anymore. They weren't going to throw their money at these big-time players. And then they turn around and sign a 36-year-old coming off knee surgery. It sort of goes against the grain of what MLS has become about in the last 2 seasons, which is signing young South American players, you know, really talented players. The message out of the league office has been, don't come to see the stars, come to see the play, come right. to see the skill in the game. And yes, a lot of time they bring that, but it does sort of, I think that he needs to prove to people that he is fully fit and can be the kind of player that he used to be.
Kevin, do they make the signing if there isn't another team in Los Angeles? If LAFC isn't around?
Well, that's curious because they've been trying to sign him for 3 years. The first time they tried is when he was out of contract at PSG and the Galaxy came in and made an offer, and then he signed for $26 million with Manchester United. And it was like, really? You guys really thought you were going to get a guy that just got $26 million? They tried again last year, and they continued to negotiate with him as he was recovering from the injury and still thought that they could bring him. And Zlatan went back to Manchester United one more time because he really wanted to win Champions League. So I think the timing of this is not all that interesting. It's kind of obvious. Once Manchester United was eliminated from the Champions League and Jose Mourinho had already said, you know, Zlatan didn't figure in their plans, then he took the first plane out to come to MLS. So, you know, would they do it without LAFC? Well, they've been trying to do it for a couple of years, but certainly after last season when they had their franchise worst season, 18-8, and then this year, LAFC kind of dominating the local soccer conversation in LA. It certainly helps. I think they would have done it. I think they tried to do it, but the timing of it and the timing of you know, the trade was, or the acquisition was officially announced, as you mentioned, in a full page ad in the LA Times this week. Well, the first derby, LAFC and the Galaxy, the first derby is coming up on March 31st. This is definitely a shot across the bow for the Galaxy trying to take back the market heading into that first game.
Kevin, we just got 3 minutes left. I did want to ask you about the World Cup bid, though. You know, I think a lot of people here are excited. Toronto's going to be part of it. It's going to be, you know, Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Obviously, some concern about your fine president and whether or not there are going to be some issues, you know, getting the requisite number of votes as a result of some of the things he said and some of the things he's done. What are people at U.S. Soccer saying about this right now?
Quietly, the other day, Carlos Cordero, the new president of U.S. Soccer, came out and said that it's all overblown, that there isn't any political concerns, but privately, people in U.S. soccer are very concerned, and they say this Morocco bid is very serious now. And the problem is exactly what you said, the political angle, that certainly President Trump will not be president in 2026. Even if he were to win re-election, he would be out of office by the time the World Cup comes. But the African Confederation apparently is going to vote in bloc for Morocco. That would give Morocco more than half the votes it needs to win the World Cup. So if they can pick up some other votes, say, in the Middle East and in Asia, there's some European countries that apparently are prepared to vote in favor of Morocco, somebody like Portugal, which can, its team can stay home in Portugal and fly in for games. It's a 90-minute flight. France,
absolutely,
with its colonial history. You know, there may be a lot of European countries that will vote for it, too. The problem isn't so much that, you know, the Trump thing, with him being out of office, what it is some of these African countries, the ones that Trump called whole countries, this is their one chance to vote against Trump foreign policy. They're not going to be asked to come into a trade deal. They're not going to be asked to vote on a United Nations Security Council resolution. They can register their displeasure with the United States in a World Cup vote, and they know how much that will hurt. And I do think that, if you know, the United bid was created after Trump won, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think that Mexico and Canada were brought in to soften it. I think Sunil Gulati, at that time the president of U.S. soccer, really knew that this thing had a chance to blow up. I mean, who doesn't like Canada? You know, there's some troubled country maybe in Europe, maybe it's Portugal, maybe it's Spain that are thinking of voting for Morocco. You send Canada over, and everyone loves Canada, and I think Canada's kind of the closer in this situation. They're the ones that are there to seal the deal.